Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Fix the Family Fix America Radio Show. Welcome to the Fix the Family Fix America Radio Show.
Hey folks, it's time for the show.
Welcome.
And now, here's your host for all this craziness, Jack
Hatfield. And it starts tonight. Your brand new life, the planet's brand new life, your family's brand new life, and the country's brand new life. That's because Confucius said, to put the world right in order, we must first put the nation in order. To put the nation in order, we must first put the family in order. To put the family in order, we must first cultivate our personal life. And that's right. You're here to do that here on Fix the Family, Fix America. I, as said by our brand new announcer, Mr. Bill, we are excited by that little new opening number by Bill, and it is fantastic. As said by Bill, I am Jack Hatfield, that is correct, and we do it here on Fix the Family. In a crazy, crazy way, because some of the topics we talk about are just so intense. It's just crazy. And we do it in our exclusive 4+1 method. That's right, 4 ways, and then there's a plus sign, and then there's one other way. So those 4 plus ways are positive fathering, make a difference mothering, pull through parenting, and reveal your success. The plus one is disease in the diet, where we stop, heal, and prevent the degenerative diseases that are affecting families all across this country. That's right, this being the first time. Well, I got a caller. Hang on 1 second. Caller, if you can hang on, I'll get to you in 2 seconds. Degenerative disease is being, this will be in the first year where we are going to be dying of degenerative diseases more than acute illnesses. And that is what we're going to prevent. So we appreciate you being here all of the time. I greatly appreciate it. Now we're going to get started with the show. We have so much to talk about. We've got several mom of the week and diet of the week talks to do. We've got babies that are being stolen. We're going to talk about some supplements, some hospital mess ups. We're going to mourn a little bit the loss of someone near and dear. We're going to look at some teens and what's happening in the teen culture. And then if you're in a pinch for some coverage, we have an app for that. And we have several studies that we're going to delve into and have lots of fun there. So we greatly appreciate it. And get ready. We will get started. I love our new opener. It is so much fun. Let's get started here in a moment. Thanks a lot. Have a great one.
We'll be right back.
caller. Fantastic. I am so glad everyone is here. We're going to start the show with a caller on the air. Caller, can you hear me? Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. And you are live on the radio. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I was just calling in to listen. I didn't know that I had raised my hand. This is J. Blair Brown. How are you?
I am perfect. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm finding this a really good time to talk. I just finished some dialogue with someone else who is strictly a one-sided family person, and I wanted something more balanced. So
okay.
I tried to explain to that gentleman that in order to fix the family, both parents have to come to the table. You can't harbor feelings against the other parent and blah, 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 but, you know, this person has their own agenda, and they're not trying to see things the way things should be seen, the bigger picture. So I said, you know what? I was on Facebook, and I said, Jack has a show. Let me hear what Jack has to say. So what do you have to tell us tonight, Jack?
Well, we have a lot of stuff to talk about, but since you're here, why don't we talk about you for a few minutes?
I like talking about me, but this show was not about me, but we can do that. I'm always up to talking about me.
Well, we'll just do an impromptu interview right here to start the show. I wish I would have told the whole audience that you were calling in. I didn't know you were, but now everyone gets a treat. Ladies and gentlemen, this is my friend J. Blair Brown, who is very mad at me probably still because I missed being on her show one time, and she has harbored deep resentment for that. No, just kidding.
You're terrible.
I'm kidding. She obviously is forgiving me to call in here. And J. Blair Brown, please tell them about yourself.
Let's see, where should I begin? I'm a freelance writer, PR, and marketing consultant. And I run my own shop out of my home. I got fed up with that big hoopla corporation out there, and my father was dying, and I said, you know what, I need to take some time off to take care of my dad, and my boss didn't understand that, and I said, I gotta go. And from that moment on, I just started working from home. I mean, it really was just like that. I just decided to work from home because family is everything. And I had a wonderful, remarkable father who took care of me all of his life, and I mean, up until the moment he died. So it was nothing for me to, make that sacrifice. So here I am today. I'm also a Blog Talk Radio host and doing some really interesting things. And so, you know, just happy where my life is now.
Well, that's really good. And as you and I both have spoke before, I quit everything to take care of my mother as well last year. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people do not understand that. And that's one of the things I actually spoke about a couple shows back is the family unit as the people got aged, as parents got aged,
mm-hmm.
It seems like they're being thrown away versus being taken care of.
Absolutely.
And I watch a lot of football during football season, and some of the ads was this I forgot if it was a bank or a finance company, but what they were doing was you could go, and I actually wrote it down. I was going to go on there. It was they were doing highlighting the fact that people were taking care of their parents and could write in and submit people that were taking care of their parents, and they were going to get a prize to some of the best ones. It was really, really awesome to see a company telling the world hello, that's not a bad thing, because it right. seems like if you quit and you go to, like, you went to your boss, said, hey, I got to go take care of my dad. I just told everybody I knew, said, I got to go take care of my mom. I mean, same thing happened 5 years ago when my daughter was born. I said, hey, I got to go and take care of my mom, my daughter. And people just don't understand that. They go, well, yeah, but what about your work? What about money? What about stuff?
Right. That is, you are so right. I didn't even ask for time off. I asked to cut down my 5-day week to 4 days, which was definitely doable. And it wasn't as if I worked in the hospital taking care of, you know, I was a hospice worker. I mean, let's face it, there are some positions that just require you to be there. I answered telephones at an advertising agency. Come on, it's just advertising. That was not worth me not taking care of my dad. But you're absolutely right. People don't get it. They don't get it. But I would not trade that last 2 months of his life for anything. And I'm sorry I didn't do it sooner, actually.
It's strange to me that, as wisdom goes, as people gain wisdom, then they understand. But if they in the time that people are, you saying they just don't get it. What I'm saying is, think back, think what you're doing now, and if you're on your deathbed and you go, you know what, I'm so glad I answered phones mm-hmm. at that agency versus you know, going and spending time with the final hours with my parent.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to say that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But people don't think like that. Well, actually, people don't think anymore. Me and you both agree that thought processes are gone in this country. Just today, even in the grocery store, you saw two, I guess they were teenagers, younger ladies, did not care that they were in a line, didn't care that other people were in a line, went on, got in their own little checkout lane, did their own thing, and ignored everyone around them, like there was nothing, no one else. Mm-hmm. And I just go, you know, that's just part of it. People aren't mm-hmm. even they're not even courteous because they're not even thinking. They're not even have conscious thought when they're just doing, you know, mundane things. That's just crazy.
Right.
You know? So what else does J. Blair Brown do?
J. Blair Brown works with several clients. Some of my clients are writers. Others are, one's an actor. I mean, I just have people all over the place. One's a realtor. One's a realtor. I do an assortment of things. You know, one of the things that I found out, somewhere in our American society, we've gotten to the point where, first of all, you have to make a certain amount of money to be happy. That's the kind of mindset we have. The other thing is that, you know, for right or wrong, that's what it is. If you're not in a certain social class, you're not happy. You're not going to be happy. The other thing is that if you don't have a college degree, you're never going to make it. There's another thing where if your focus is not the general consensus, you've just got to be wrong. I mean, you know. So as a society, we've gotten away from that feeling as if we're truly independent. For all the independent talk that we do, we're really dependent on one another just to survive in this country. You know, so I say all that to say, if your grocery store closes down, my God, you're just going to have a nervous breakdown because you don't grow your own vegetables anymore. No one has. There are no gardens. There are associations now. You can buy a home for $300,000, and they will tell you you have to have a certain door in your house. You cannot grow vegetables. You can't hang your clothes out. You know what I mean? So we've become the Stepford Society, and I just refuse to live that way. I want to live life and whatever comes. If there's a way for me to make a couple of dollars legally, let me put that in there. If there's a way for me to do that and put food on the table, that's what I'm going to do. and I'm going to have fun doing it, and I'm going to take care of myself, blah, 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 blah.
You know, that's
so I don't know if that answers your question.
Well, we'll go on some of the things you said anyway, and I'll ask you some more questions in a minute. But that's another thing you see in what you were saying is that there's an awful lot of rules. And I don't know why there seems to be such a need for rules. And I'm not saying, you know, don't stop laws and let
right.
everybody go into chaos, of course. But like you're talking about the house. When you purchase a house, you have these so many rules. And one of the reasons I could see you want to do it is so that one person's not destroying the entire neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. I understand that.
Those are basic rules. But then other than that, other than, you know, common decency rules, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let everybody live the way they want to live.
Yeah.
And then bring back the fun of life, because
mm-hmm. yeah,
I see people every day. There's no joy. There's absolutely no joy, and when I make jokes or whatever, they're just and it just boggles my mind. Where's the joy in your life? When you're on your deathbed, are you gonna go, "Woo, I had fun," or are you gonna go, it's a rainy day to die"?
What's the point? I'm sorry it didn't happen sooner.
I mean,
yeah.
It really, really boggles my mind. There is no, I mean, we delve through a lot of stuff in this show. I mean, I talk about, you know, babies that are dying, mothers that suck, dads that suck, ways to try to be healthier, or, you know, people dying of cancer and other degenerative diseases on this show. And we hit a lot of topics, but we try, if we're not going to have fun doing it, then we're not going to do it.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, I touched on this a little bit, but we can't, for whatever reason, we've gotten away from being able to have a logical debate and to agree that we're just going to disagree and you're still going to be my neighbor and I'm still going to be your friend and we're still going to go to lunch. I'm still going to respect your views, but, you know, that the society has gotten way out of control. It's our way or the highway. So, you know, it's just not, we should be better than the animals. And a lot of times we aren't.
Well,
we're killing our own young.
Yes. And the food, we talk about it a lot here. I mean, the food that is being served in mass
mm-hmm.
quantities is definitely not helping. And another thing, like you're saying, be better than the animals. One of the ways to be better than the animals is intelligence. And again, we've touched on this. Where is the intelligence going? And
yeah.
I talk about how diet affects intelligence and how just simply the lack of desire on humans is affecting intelligence, because past high school, 97% of this country do not pick up another book.
I believe you.
Do you know that?
I believe you. And you know what's worse? When doctors get their certifications, they don't ever, ever have to move forward in their medical license or just... I used to work for an emergency council, medical emergency council. And once you are a certified doctor... Now, that's not to say that you're not any good. But can you imagine going to the doctor who birthed you, who helped deliver you, and you're going to him today and he's going to give you the same medication that they had back then? Like, come on. You know, so but if you're in other occupations, you're required to keep up with the latest in technology or the latest in, you know, whatever the case may be, but not if you are in the medical field. You do not need to be certified again. So, you know,
that is scary. You broke up in my hearing you. You broke up a little bit, so I'm hoping to catch your whole gist of what you just said. And actually, we have someone to ask you a question, I believe, on a call in here, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
Try it. Let's see what's going on. Caller, can you hear us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
I thought that doctors had to be recertified every once in a while, but I guess I was wrong.
It's nice if they do it. Can you hear me?
I thought that in order to be board certified, you had to be certified every once in a while on at least a semi-regular basis, but I may be wrong. But in any case... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the other thing is that... Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. The other thing, though, sir, is that each state has its own rule and regulation. Mm-hmm. So whereas the AMA may have their standards, each state has their own statute.
Mm-hmm.
What else were you going to say, sir?
Well, you had brought up a situation where you were talking about two teenagers who had cut in line. And that would be an example of not only teenagers today, but teenagers in the past, how they really don't care about what's around them. In order to get the family back, because this show is about Fix the Family, Fix America, right?
Correct.
I would think that individual kids, before they become teenagers, have to be infused with a sense of ethics and have a sense of propriety, so that as they grow up, when they become teenagers and adults, they would have that particular training in them so that they can grow up to be responsible adults. And therefore, if they're going to have families, they'll have responsible families. Does that make sense?
Absolutely correct. And if you're a listener to the show on a normal basis, we try to show that it's generational, that the families today that are going to be great came from families that were great already. And the families that are looking to be broken are looking like they're coming from broken families. Now, not all broken families turn into bad families, because those people do things that me and Miss Brown were just talking about. They go and learn, and they listen to shows like this, of course, and they do better for themselves. Okay, and they make sure that they don't have the same life that they had in the past, and that's a tremendous, tremendous change. And parenting is just less. The more and more that people are told that everything will be taken care of for you by someone else or something else, then the less and less a person will take its own responsibility of being the parent, the dad, the mom. They say, well, it's not my responsibility at this point, because that's what I hear. Like Ms. Brown said, everyone listens to be dependent, but they don't become independent.
And give me an example.
An example of a father not being a true father, or a mother not being a true mother? What are you asking?
Well, you just said that. The fact that people are not being independent anymore, therefore they're not good parents. So give me an example. I presume you're talking about the welfare system.
Well, no, not in particularly, but let's say that a parent relies solely on someone else to teach their child, such as the educational system. If they rely solely on someone else to teach their child, okay, and then they get upset at the result without having any input, that is showing a dependence on, it's not my responsibility to teach my child, but I don't like the outcome. And that's just, I'm not saying the Department of Education or the school system, I'm not putting any indication on anything, but if a parent does not get involved in any instance of the child's behavior, or any instance of the child's learning, and he allows that to be taken away from him or her, then what's going to happen is the child's going to change, and it may or may not please the parents.
Well, the parents should be involved in this example with the kid's education, but the public school system is there to take the responsibility away from the parents. That's why the kids go to school for about 6 hours a day away from home, so that they can get the education from the teachers.
Yes,
that's a good point. That's a good point, and I'd like to address that. And in my opinion, Now, I will tell you, I would not have been the type of parent who would have been able to teach my child the academics that she learned in school. I'm not good at math. I don't even want to be good at math. It's just not in me. I'm a creative person. So I'm glad that my daughter went to public school to get that kind of training, because it was never going to come out of me. On the other hand, what I did do as a parent, I supported the teachers 100%. So when my daughter came home from school and said, Mrs. Smith gave me a hard time, I said, what did you do? What did you do for her to give you a hard time? Because Mrs. Smith is not going to get up at 6 o'clock to come to school and sit in the room with 30 screaming kids just to give you a hard time for no reason. So, you know, there has to be that balance with parents and teachers. They both need to see that they're for one another and they're advocates. And I think when you break up that kind of communication and the child manipulates the parent, that's when the problem comes up. I definitely don't see a problem with sending kids to school, privately or publicly.
Absolutely not. No, I hope I didn't convey not sending children to school.
No, that was just being, I was just playing the devil's advocate. Actually, the public school system sucks, and parents would actually do better if they could teach their kids at home. Most homeschooled kids actually score better on the SATs on the average than kids who go to either private or public school. But I was bringing that up because what happens in America is that we're brought up to believe that since the government is in control of the public school education, that therefore we have to entrust them with our children. I happen to believe differently. The public school system, again, in most states, most cities, just plain sucks. And yeah, some parents won't have the capacity to teach their kids math or maybe history or maybe geography as well as some sterling teachers will. But overall, kids who are homeschooled actually grow a stronger bond with the parents. That is if the parents have the time. If the parents are going to work, they can't go to work and take care of the kid at the same time. But that's where the breakup of the family also plays a part. If women were willing to stay home, or if they were willing to have husbands who were willing to stay home and take care of the children would grow up probably with better psyches and probably with better skills in order to function in society a lot better than most kids who go to public school. Because as you were mentioning, if you're going to school with 30 screaming kids, there's a problem with that school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, if my kid was going to a school that had 30 screaming kids, I would take my kid out of there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, if you have that option, you certainly would want to do that.
Yeah.
I was never in a position, I never had that option. I was mother and father in my household, so I had to work like mother and father. So, and you know, I don't begrudge anyone. I have a nephew who he and his wife are homeschooling their children, and more power to them. I don't even have a desire. I never even had a desire to do that. I need adult conversation. I need that. I thrive off of that. And which is probably why my daughter's vocabulary was better than most, because I talked to her like an adult. I was not going to... The Google and Gaga never worked for me. So anyway, that's a whole other story. But, you know, your point is very well taken. I do believe that children need to spend more time with their parents. The flip side of that is, if you're spending that quality time and some of that quantity, you don't need to sit your child at a desk for 6 hours and grill things into them. It depends on how you use your time. So, you know, what's more important? Is it the TV or is it your time with your child? Most parents, when they get home, even those who aren't tired, the kids are in the bedroom playing on the computer or playing with their little, you know, handheld devices, and the parents are talking on the phone or doing whatnot. So I don't think it's a school issue. I think it's a mentality between the parents and the child.
Both of you are talking fantastically. And back to that point, when you have no other option, there are times when options are not there, and so the school system exists. When you have no option, like you said, when the child comes home, that's when you become involved. And that quality time makes the biggest difference. When they do go to their room, then there cannot be any complaint from the parent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because the child's getting all of its input from the school system and all the children, the 30 screaming kids around him or her.
Mm-hmm.
So unless the parent is engaged, like you were, and a parent that try to be every day, then they may or may not like what the results are.
Right. You know, the other thing that I hope I'm not getting too far off the subject, but this is just on my mind, and I'd like to know what the gentleman thinks about this. The other thing that I've never had in my household, there was no privacy in your room. You're 13. Why do you need privacy? Now, you can say what you want to say about the anatomy and hormones, but you know what? When I'll knock on the door, and that's as much. You have 2 minutes to pull yourself together. And I did searches. I didn't do a strip search, but I'll search a bedroom in a minute. I never had guns. I never had drugs in my house because I wanted my daughter to understand, until you are grown and can pay a portion of this rent, this home belongs to me. So, I was never that parent. You have a right to express how you feel, but me as the parent, I'm going to parent. It wasn't always a pretty picture, but it was necessary.
Well, that's so true, because moms and dads sometimes today try to be best friend instead of mom and dad.
Yeah, you can't be their friend.
No, you can be. You can be the friend and you can be the parent. If you're a good parent, then you automatically are a good friend. If you can give emotional support to your child, it doesn't mean that you have to play ball with them or start wearing the same pants, cut pants as they do.
Uh-huh.
Right.
But if you're giving emotional support to your children, if you're going to give them balance, for example, my philosophy is children should fear their parents. They should legitimately be afraid of getting their parents
angry. The repercussions. Mm-hmm.
You know?
But now, do you fear your friends? You see, that's where we differ, because you don't fear your friends. Your friends are your peers.
No, but there are gangs, or they're there out of fear. But you're talking about a different philosophical type of division now on this particular topic. The thing is, though, is that if you fear your parents, but at the same time, the parents are going to treat the child as a living, breathing organism that is worthy of love.
Absolutely.
Then if that child knows that, if that child gets beat only because the child deserves it, and the child knows that he or she deserves it, there's not going to be any resentment towards the parent. Because that parent, hopefully, is going to treat that kid as a beautiful creature. You are mine. I love you. You are not supposed to cross the street, because if you do, you could die. And I'm going to beat you until you until you get that message in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want you to live until, 73, 75, 85 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, this is my house. These are my rules. But you got to be fair, But if you violate my rules, you will wish you were dead. But if you are a normal child, you can do no wrong until you do wrong. And I will praise the day that you were born. So I think if a child gets both, because most of the times today, children are getting parents who just beat them but don't praise them.
Well, they beat them and don't praise them, or they don't beat them at all and they get no praise. So it's such an imbalance, and I understand when parents tell me, oh yeah, I beat my kids, it never occurs to me that they're abusing them.
Mm-hmm.
You have these people who saying, oh well, that's a form of abuse. No. That's my mom used to say, that's what a butt is for. Now, don't beat them all over the face and around the neck.
No, I agree with that.
Your butt can take a good spanking. But today, I think abuse is, so prevalent that you have to be careful how you word that. That's a problem, but I understand. Because I've gotten a few beatings, and I've given out a few.
Mm-hmm. And that word abuse is really overused. That's a governmental type of word, okay? because you know that butt philosophy is something I agree with. You shouldn't be, you know, smacking your kids off the wall. But if you take a good strap to a kid and you say, okay, come here, lean over my knee, you know, and you're dominating that child and you're beating that child for a good reason. Now, the child has to know it's a good reason. Okay? You can't just,
and that requires parenting.
Sorry?
The good reason requires good parenting.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
You have to convey what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean,
and then the other thing that you brought up, the fear of the parent, sometimes would make it to where it requires no beating or spanking.
Exactly.
Simple fear.
It's a healthy fear. Mm-hmm. And it's
exactly.
a healthy
Simple
fear.
I can look at my daughter in a one way, and it's, oh, it ends. Everything that, that is happening at the moment ends now.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
When you have fear of your parents and you are afraid, again, of making them angry, you're not going to join gangs, you're not going to do drugs, you're not going to get girls pregnant, you're not going to get pregnant, because you don't want your mother, your father, coming down on you like a ton of bricks.
Right, and on the opposite side of that, in your token where you're saying emotional friendship and afraid, you also want to be the apple of your parents' eye, so you're not going to join the gang.
That's right.
Absolutely.
You don't want to be exactly.
Hey, one of the biggest debates I ever had, I was talking to one of my former coworkers, and he was saying, your parents beat you? I think that's terrible. I said, I deserved it. I didn't want to tell him what I did, but I said, I deserved it. No kid ever deserves a beating. I said, let me tell you what me and my twin sister did. We were taking a bath with our baby sister. Back in the day, and I'm much older, back in the day you took baths together because you conserved water, okay? And we were little.
Exactly.
But we were about 9 years old. Our baby sister was 5. And we turned on 100% hot water. We straddled the tub, and we played this game that you couldn't get in the tub. Now, we were 9, she was 5. Do the math. Okay. When my father burst into that bathroom because of the blood-curdling scream she let out, it was, we knew we were dead. But I got to tell you, the burns that our sister got, we deserved what we got because we knew we were wrong. But we were, you know, we were bullying her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that we were worth. That was worth a butt with it. At least.
Yeah, I agree.
He should have beat us and threw us out of the house. Because, you know, so there are circumstances. On the other hand, you have these kids now. Parents are afraid to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because the child has a bad attitude.
You're right. And you can't beat your kid. Let's say she's late or he's late 5 minutes for dinner. Okay, give him a reprimand. Give him a warning and stuff like this. But if it's persistent, then you have to use appropriate punishment. But again, you're right. There are parents who are afraid to go to sleep because now the kids know that if the parents raise a hand to them or even raise their voice, it's called verbal abuse, and they can actually stick the government on the parents.
Well, it's more than that. These kids are fighting them back and beating them. My mom was 73 the last time she threatened me. And let me tell you, we were on the phone. I had to call my sisters for backup. She was 73. This is not a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Because she instilled that fear in us.
That's right.
You know, and it was healthy and it was loving, and I'm glad she did.
Yeah, I mean, that's just good parenting, and you don't see that anymore. You see an awful, awful lot of non-parenting.
Well, it's easy. Everybody wants something easy. You know, we live in a society that everything's convenient. You want dinner, you stop by a fast food or, you know, the chicken place down the street. You know, my goodness, I don't mean to get graphic, but if you want sex, you know, you just pull it up on the internet. You know, you don't have to work for anything anymore. You know,
and it has instilled laziness. You're correct.
Yes. Why should parenting be any different? You know, they got websites now. You want to find out something about your kid? You know, you go online. Well, sit down and talk to them. You know, what's this investigating? No, talk. You know, so
communicate.
Yeah, it's yeah, yep.
Well, I'm going to agree and disagree. because a lot of times people are saying that communication is the key, and the instant gratification, people are blaming technology. I don't blame technology for any of what's going on today. A lot of people blame technology for the separation of friendships, separation of family. I don't blame that.
Completely agree with you.
If you have values, it doesn't matter if you're living out in the desert or if you're living in a modern Star Trek society. You will find other people, and you are going to treat them the way they should be treated, and you're going to expect to be treated the way you deserve to be treated because of the way your parents have infused within you a set of values. What's missing today are the values.
Absolutely. I don't mean to imply that there's anything wrong with technology. Sir, I live. My whole being is on this internet. If my laptop would go down today, I just don't know what I'm going to do because that's how I make my living.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to say that technology is bad. I'm saying that people don't use it the way that they should. It makes parenting easy for the parent who's lazy. So I'm not...
Yeah, I agree with you on that. But I'm not going to blame technology, and I'm going to disagree with, I guess it's Jack, about communication. Because you can communicate all day long with your spouse, you can communicate with your kids, but if your kids or your spouse are, for example, narcissistic, and you tell them plainly, could you please stop doing this because it annoys me, they might hear you, but they won't absorb the message. So you're communicating, but if their character is flawed, that communication is no good. So again, to me, it goes below communication. It goes into values. One more time, you have to have values. If you have values, you will communicate, you will learn to listen to people, you will accept what they're saying, you will tolerate what should be tolerated, learn not to tolerate what should not be tolerated. But if you're narcissistic, okay, it doesn't matter what somebody says to you, you're selfish, you don't care what they said.
Well, yeah, selfishness is huge, and you know, I wasn't saying 100% that communication is the key. I thought I was building on the fact that we had the fear, and then we had the adulation, and then we also must have some communication during those times, and just we're stacking the blocks of what it would take for a parenting.
All right. All right, because I've talked to people who've said communication is the key. I've talked to a lot of people, and I think they refer to communication because I think it's an easy grab. You know?
It's cocktail talk.
Yeah, and they say, well, if you can communicate, wow, you've really got it made. No, because, again, if I communicate to you what's bothering me, what pleases me, and you don't care, then there, again, is something wrong with your character. The character deficiency has to be repaired, not the communication.
Right. So, go back to the two teenage girls in line. If I were to have communicated the fact that they just busted in line, they would have probably just simply said, shut up, old man. You know, we don't care.
Yeah.
And, you know, it would have been over for them.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously not for the rest of the people in line, and we could have made a big deal out of it, but it was... You got to pick. That's just a small battle, but just starting from the minute stuff like that, you see how it can grow into the problems that we all see around us now.
Yeah, and I think that something. You know, you were about to say, you know, pick your battles, but I think with teenagers or with people who really have a sense of me, myself, and I more than us, that sometimes just almost any battlefield is a good battlefield in order to teach them what their parents haven't. I've had arguments with people who have gotten in front of me. You know, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, it's everyday life is well, if it's not a battle, it's certainly at times situations where people who are not thinking or not looking around or not being aware of their circumstances, they are thinking of themselves and not of other people, and sometimes they have to be reined back in.
Well, you know, the other side to that, though, is when you go into a store, it really is the duty of that cashier or that management team or what have you to say, because I used to be a cashier as well, one of my several lives, and I would say, I'm sorry, ma'am, but these people were here before you. And people have done it to me when I, you know, inadvertently walked past someone. So although, yeah, those girls were wrong, it really shouldn't be on the consumer to stick their neck out. Those girls get paid. You're paying their salary so that no one does that. You see what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying, but I also would like to tell you that a lot of the cashiers are in the same boat as those two teenage girls.
I know.
And the value system is gone from the cashier itself, and so they just go on about their business.
Yeah, just putting in time to get the dime. You're right.
Yeah, but I remember one time I was going to the post office, and I walked past this old man to get online. He didn't like it, so he went ahead of all of us. And the girl behind the cage says, sorry, sir, and then let me ahead of him, you know. And then, that was an end of that. But
well, I mean, that's good that she did that.
Yeah, it was good. But you're right also. I mean, if you're making $5 an hour to be a cashier, you really don't care about the world.
No. No, and you see that value system, time and dime value system that you're talking about, simply is everywhere, because customer service is also left. And now we're going off thousands of topics.
Oh, boy, don't go.
Yeah, don't even get me started on customer service.
Oh,
I think it's an oxymoron. There is no such thing anymore. You can't even get somebody on the phone to call and complain.
No. Nope.
And when you do, I don't even want to go there.
And, you know,
I don't want to. Your show's not long enough.
You know what's really bad? When customer service is better when you're talking to somebody in India than talking to somebody who was in America. That's when you know customer service is bad.
Right, because they're following the manual exactly what.
And at least they'll call you ma'am and sir.
Yeah, they're polite.
they don't know no one in this country does that anymore, and don't tell them.
Oh.
Because that's the only time you're going to get respect. You're absolutely right. That's a good point.
it's amazing. You know the jokes about, you know, oh, you always got to talk to somebody in India, you know, or the Philippines. But now I'd rather talk to somebody in India than somebody in America who's with customer service, because they just don't care.
Anymore, you don't know if the customer service person is going to serve you or shoot you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, and, the bigger name companies, the brand name companies, they actually have good customer service. I actually recommend Dell. Dell's customer services, and, of course, Amazon. Both of them are terrific. But I can't recommend any other. But most of the time, customer service is really crappy. Very unknowledgeable.
Yeah.
And God forbid, if you actually want to question some chick about the product or what she said, now she's going to get, you know, you can tell in her voice that, I got one of these on the line. Somebody actually wants to ask me a question. Oh, God. So it's horrible. But that, again, goes back to values, because to me, why should people in customer service actually have to take a training course to become good customer service people? Why don't people know how to say, good morning, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Can you hold on, please? That, to me, is normal.
Well,
what's their upbringing? You know, I don't put everything that I read about these kids doing these horrible things. These kids are growing up raising themselves. Half the parents are in jail. The other half are working three jobs. So the kids are sitting at home watching TV. They're all rated R movies, and that's in the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it goes back to not spending time with your children. Kids aren't born, and you know it's not inborn to say thank you or please. And
no,
yes,
it's not inborn. You have to learn that. You have to
thank
learn
you,
the
you know?
Right. You
right.
have to learn the culture that you're born in. But getting back to the parents again, where parents should become good friends and at the same time be good parents, is that if a kid has a problem, that kid should feel, my mom, my dad, I have to go to them, as opposed to my mom, my dad doesn't understand me.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
you're
it,
right.
In the second hour of this show, I'm going to be talking about how American teens are actually getting better with their affair with the sex. And that's a big thing. But before get to break, have an hour break, I want to ask both of you this. One of my topics tonight was the new New York City iPhone condom, free condom finder app.
Wow. Wow.
Can you say that again without stumbling over the words? Say it fast.
That was a...
Wow.
The New York City Health Department put out an iPhone app.
Oh, God.
That allows you to pinpoint exactly where you can go to get your free condom.
Well.
Well, in Canada, I just saw a special on TV. This one region in Canada, they are giving out free needles. And you can actually shoot up in this government-funded building because it was safer for the heroin and you know, crack addicts to shoot up with clean needles because of how the AIDS epidemic is really running rampant through this region in Canada.
If I'm not mistaken, I think that's here, too.
You see? So that's just it's a sign of the times that we live in.
But that might be a good thing, because if they're studying the model over in Amsterdam, that's what they did in Amsterdam, and they reduced crime, and they reduced people being addicted by doing that. So if they do it properly, it could work, but again, you know, anything the government sticks its hand into, I don't have much faith in.
Well, you know, everybody was making a big deal out of what's going on over in Egypt, and I said to a friend of mine the other day, I said, you know, I know that they felt they did what they had to do, and that's their right to do it, but I give them 2 months before crack and crystal meth is not running rampant through those societies. I'm never going to say that dictatorship or communism is a good thing, but I'm going to tell you, whenever you change the scope of, you know, of the government, there's going to be something coming along that's not going to be too kosher. So, you know, just give it time, but it's going to happen.
Well, yeah, newfound freedom is just like a teenager going to spring break for the first time without parents.
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good point.
I have another question to present to you two. I'm sure both of you have heard about a wonderful South Carolina mother that left her, gave birth during a circus event in a stadium, and left the child in the toilet,
toilet?
It was found by the cleaning crew.
Yeah.
Both of you heard of that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a good mother of the week for this show, of course. And here's there's another one just happened. An Indian woman gives birth to a baby and tried to flush it down a lavatory toilet in a jet. 22-year-old mother.
Nice.
So what is happening? And I'm sure if we were to Google "mom leaves child," there's probably a lot of that happening. What's going on in the head of a woman or a girl that the mother-child relationship bond is supposed to be so massive? How can that be broken so quickly during these moments?
Please let me answer this, as I'm sure neither of you have given birth.
Correct.
I will tell you that when I found out I was pregnant, I went to the riverfront to jump in. This is a true story. I was devastated. Now, before people make their assumptions that I was a promiscuous girl, let me assure you that was not the case. I because of respect for my family and my daughter, I've never told the whole story, but it was not the case. I did not have a lot of choices like people think you might have when someone pops up pregnant, as they say. So there was that issue. But morally, I could not get rid of my daughter through an abortion. I just could not take that route. And the other part of it was I knew that my parents would be so hurt because of this outcome. So the best thing for me was just kill yourself. Just jump in the river. And I actually went to the riverfront and stood there for a good 45 minutes before I really pulled myself together. I mean, it was a lot of tears and a lot of things that went on. And finally I said, okay, you're just going to have to work through this, because that's a lot of water and you don't really want to die. And even though this wasn't your fault, you just got to work through this. And I can tell you, I never regretted that decision. So I think a lot of times, you know, these girls find themselves in a situation. It isn't always that, you know, they were promiscuous. You know, there's sexual assault happens every day, every single day. You know, so to put that on mothers is wrong. Yeah, to flush your baby down the toilet, that's a definite no-no. You're not going to win any mother awards by, you know, sticking the baby, wrapping the baby up and sticking it in a trash can. But there's another underlying issue here, and that is how women are treated, young girls are being treated in this country. We talk about other countries. We never talk about what goes on with young girls and now little boys in this country. The boys just can't get pregnant. The girls are getting pregnant. So that's
well,
just one side of it.
Outside of rape, the girls shouldn't be spreading their legs.
Right, outside of rape.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens when you are raped? You will never understand how that feels. And then to have to carry this child, you'll never understand how that feels. So, and then for someone who, one of my schoolmates went to the doctor because she had these terrible cramps. She was always a small girl. The doctor said, congratulations, you're going to have a baby next month. She said, it's impossible, I'm on my period. Yes, that's what I said. She said, I'm on my period. He said, I don't care what you say, and I don't care if you're on your period. You're going to have a baby next month. And next month she had a baby.
Well, now two things I want to go back to what you were saying. Now, you said once you found out you were pregnant, you went to the bridge. I'm talking about these two girls that took the baby all the way to term and give birth and then attempt to break them the bond of mother-child right then.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've already had a disconnect. So, yeah, you have 9 months to build this, you know, nurturing mentality, but you also have 9 months to disconnect. So you're just eating. You're not thinking about, should I eat the right things? These are probably, they probably also did a little bit of drugs, at least. They probably smoked marijuana. They probably drank, because they don't want kids. They're just incubators at this point. There's not a natural. It should be a natural connection, but the mind is a strong tool. So that disconnect, really, that's the extreme. So once they had this thing, they didn't have that natural affection. Not like a mother who would take care of her body.
I don't even think it's all that natural, because there's a lot of women who have postpartum depression right after having the child. Uh-huh. And there's another case about 5 or 6 years ago. I think one of the first ones that I've heard about, there was a girl who went to a prom and had a baby right then and there, put the baby in the dumpster, and then went back to the prom.
Yeah, I remember that. Uh-huh. Yep. Went right
now,
back to dancing.
Yeah. I mean, so, yes, mothers are nurturers, but so are fathers. But there are also mothers and fathers, or potential mothers and fathers, who don't want kids, and as a result of the lack of values instilled in them, okay, they will take the easy way out. Now, you also mentioned, what if they took drugs and had, you know, and smoked up some weed and stuff like this? Well, the weed and the drugs and the drinking didn't jump from the table into their mouth. They
no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right.
You know,
but that's
made
what I'm saying. They built on that disconnect.
Yeah.
It's a real thing. I mean, we can see it's a real thing because of the, you know, dozens of kids, and those are just the ones we know about.
Mm.
Yeah, those probably been babies that have never been found.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so these are just the ones we you know, hear about. So they've already had that disconnect. So it doesn't mean anything to them, you know, not to do drugs or not to drink. That doesn't mean anything to them. They definitely haven't thought of a name, you know.
Yeah, Anna, yeah, exactly. I see your point. I see your point also about birth. The problem is autism, because their problem was carrying it for the 9 months. And now that it's out, hey, it's over.
Yep.
So I can see that. Okay. That's just an interesting point.
They could get away with it. I mean, that's stupidity in and of itself.
Yeah. Well, there's a nanny that had the baby, and the family she was working for didn't even know she was pregnant. But so this nanny has the baby, and somebody went into her closet, and here that baby's in the closet. They didn't even know. This baby's been there for a couple of days or a couple of weeks or something. You know, just... I don't know.
Be there for a while, she had to wrap it up and put it in a suitcase, because after a few hours, she's going to start smelling dead flesh.
That's disgusting. But one of the things that I've learned not to do, I've learned not to judge people, even under the most horrific circumstances, because a lot of these people who do these things, there are already issues there that no one's ever addressed. There's already issues. It doesn't matter what your background is, what school you went to, if your parents are Harvard graduates, if, you know, you're black, you're white, you're rich, you're poor, what your status is in society, whether you're popular in school or not, whether you're pretty or ugly. There are underlying issues. When you get to that point, there's something going on in the family. Again, there's something going on that no one ever addressed. Even if it's just that your parents, who are nice people, swept it under the rug. They didn't want to talk about it.
Those are
issues.
I agree with you 110%. That's why I brought up before, if a kid is undergoing some sort of problem, they should feel they can go to mom and dad, no matter what the problem is.
Yeah. Yep.
If they're a fat, buck-tooth kid who is unpopular in school, they should be able to go to mom and dad and say, you know, I'm just not popular in school. Why is that? And the mother and the father should give that kid reassurance and try to teach that kid self-esteem. Well, maybe the kid should lose weight, wait till the hormones kick in, or maybe some other type of remedy. But that kid should know, no matter what happens here, I've got the best parents in the world.
Right. I agree with you there, Juan.
But if they don't feel they have the best parents in the world, that's what happens when the kids go out and start trying to flush kids down toilets or take drugs or join gangs or anything like that. You've got to instill in your kids self-esteem.
Absolutely.
Well, I'll tell you what. You two, this has been an absolute joy. Unfortunately, I got to break and do some commercials.
Blah, blah, blah. You're not going to answer my calls anymore, are you?
I will. I love it. I wish I would have known that you were calling in. We could have, advertised it. We will do that on point. And, sir, I didn't get your name.
My name's Joe.
Hi,
and
Joe.
Hey, y'all.
Hopefully Joe calls in on a regular basis, and that's just, y'all have been fantastic, and I really appreciate both of your input.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. So I guess that's the end of our participation then, huh?
Well, you can call
nice
back in just
you,
a little bit. How about that?
Oh, okay. All right.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
I'm on Facebook, J. Blair Brown. Look me up. I enjoyed the banter.
What's the name again?
J. Blair Brown.
J. Blair Brown? Okay.
Yep, J. Space Blair Space Brown. I'm under, what's his name here?
Jack.
Jack Hatfield.
Fix the Family, Fix America, yes.
All right, I'll look up what's his name and then J. Blair Brown. All right.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys. Have
All right,
night.
Take it easy.
All right. Y'all have a great one.
Uh-huh.
Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, I am so pleased that we had those two callers. Jay Blair Brown, fantastic friend of mine, and hopefully caller all the time. Joe, got to get where he's from so we know what city he's calling from. That's fantastic stuff. I greatly appreciate both of them calling in. Their viewpoints are fantastic and amazing. The spectrum of knowledge you just heard there, I'm not going to call them old, but I'm going to call them wizened. And not only wisdom, their intelligence was coming out of their out of what they were saying. You could just see it. And that if you didn't get smarter in that hour, I don't know what to do for you, because that was just fantastic. The visual acuity of these two intellectually was amazing, and I am so proud that they are listening and they called in, and they are fantastic. Again, my friend Miss Brown and my new friend Joe, greatly appreciate both of them. And as they were telling you, and as one of the topics we were talking about just a few minutes ago was customer service, I know you're probably getting tired of customer service as well. And so maybe you think that you have the way to be the best customer service, so you want to start your own business. Well, the one way to start your own business is to go and be an entrepreneur. And once you become an entrepreneur, what is now laid in front of you? A big old, how am I going to do this question? How can I go and be the best customer service entrepreneur in the world? I think I might need some help. Well, the best way to get that help is Soho Office, where they do logos, letterheads, business cards, websites, computer help, repair, everything all in one. You can go to sandhill.sohooffice.com. Give those folks a call. They can help you when you think you are going to be the best customer service of X in the world. They will help you make that X into the most greatest logo, put it on the best business card, get you the best letterhead, and get you the best website so that you can go shout it to the rest of the world and say, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? My company has the best customer service. I have fixed my family. I have put my personal life in order, and I'm helping to put this nation in order by creating this business that's going to do so well in customer service. So, again, you can get the help you need to become the entrepreneur you are going to become with sandhill.sohooffice.com, the number one place in the world to become the best entrepreneur you can be in the shortest amount of time. Again, thank you, Joe. Thank you, Miss Brown. Our second hour coming up in just a few minutes. I am so pleased that you are here. Again, thank you very much.
Welcome to the Victor Family Victor Malco Radio Show!
Hey folks, it's time for the show!
Welcome! And now, here's your host for all this craziness, Jack
Again, thank you for coming to Fix the Family, Fix America. We just had 63 minutes of incredible intellectual, beautiful conversation between Joe, don't know what city he was from, and Jay Blair Brown, one of my good friends. Wow, we talked about fixing the family. We talked about customer service. We just started running the gamut, and we found out that basically what we're learning is that we got to start instilling some values into the youth. Parents have to start parenting, And there needs to be an fear of the parent, adulation of the parent, adulation of yourself. And then you can have a healthy emotional communication and so forth and so on, so that your family unit is the best. And that's what we do here. To summarize, we said to put the world in order, we must first put the nation in order. To put the nation in order, we must first put the family in order. And to put the family in order, we must first cultivate our personal life. And we do that here with the exclusive four-part plus one series. Joe, obviously, hopefully, is a positive father. Sounds like one to me. Then we have J. Blair Brown, was a make-a-difference mother. Incredible people. I was so happy that that happened. And pull through parenting and finally reveal your success. That's right. And the plus one is disease and the diet, where we are trying to prevent families from having to deal with degenerative diseases across this country. I cannot talk this evening. I'm having an overabundance of saliva, probably due to my red eyeball. I spoke to them, asked them a question on what they thought about the New York City launches iPhone condom finder app. That's pretty funny to me. They did it on Valentine's Day. That is an interesting time to launch an app that kind of in a roundabout way says promiscuity is all good. I don't know. But they did it, and Miss Sweeney of the Bureau of HIV AIDS Prevention and Control out of New York says you can call it Valentine's Day, but we call it National Condom Awareness Day. So I don't know if we're going to lose that Valentine's Day moniker, and it will suddenly be something else for the rest of eternity. I have no idea, but I hope not, because that just doesn't have the ring to it. And I don't think the box of the multicolored flavored prophylactic thingies is going to have the same kind of effect as the box of chocolates. I'm just trying to envision that. So they launched the condom finding app, but people are going, whoa, hang on a second. Are we really this bad? And that's not just in time for Valentine's Day. A new study of teenagers are showing America's youth are actually reconsidering the morality of sex, and they're embracing the values of abstinence before marriage. That's right. We just had Joe and Miss Brown talk about values has to be instilled. And now this new study shows America's youth are reconsidering that value of sex before marriage. Half of over 5,000 teen surveys. Let me just tell you here's the nuts and bolts of the whole thing here. Half of over 5,000 teens surveyed concluded that sex before marriage was never morally acceptable. Over 70% rejected the practice of living together before marriage, and 61% confessed they would like to be a virgin on their wedding day. Now that surprises me, surprises everybody I have told, surprises probably at least 99% of this audience probably. But wow, 50% of the teens said sex before marriage is never acceptable, 70% said living together before marriage is not acceptable, and 61% confessed they would like to be a virgin on their wedding day. In fact, 63% agreed if I wasn't a virgin and I could change the past, I would have sex after marriage. Now, that is a survey of teens aged 13 to 18. Well, I don't know, and another teen that would be outside that age, if you want to know the truth. I don't even know why that statement was in the article. Oh, there is 19. There is 19. So 19-year-olds were not, well, what age is high schoolers finished? 18? I don't know. I finished way early. So maybe this is the correct group here. So anyway, survey of teens age 13 to 18. Forget that whole 1 year of 19. Was a strictly randomized to include a proportion mix of students from different races, parts of the country, urban versus rural. That's right. They went all over to get these 5,000 teens. Okay? And then the survey's questions about sexual morality were merely, now get this, were merely a part of a broader attempt to understand how teens think. In other words, it was a small portion of the entire teen survey. So not, you know, they're asking, okay, what color hair do you like on Justin Bieber? Do you like his hairstyle? You know, I don't know. I'm sure that wasn't another question. I just thought that was funny. But let's say there were questions like that, and then suddenly they're saying, well, what do you think about sex before marriage? And then what do you think about living together before marriage? And then what do you think, would you like to be a virgin on your wedding day? You know, and then there's more questions like, aren't you glad the Grammy Lady Gaga egg was hatched on the stage? I don't know. I'm just saying. And the fact that I know that Lady Gaga was in an egg at the Grammys is pathetic. That's just bad. But again, teens, 50% never morally acceptable, 70% rejected the practice of living together, and 61% confessed they would like to be a virgin on the wedding day, and then 63% saying, yeah, I've already had sex, but I would like to have waited. That's incredible. That actually shows that there is some positive results in what's been happening in the value system of families. Now, this show can't take all the credit because there are other people talking about families. But, of course, we have to take some credit because we are trying to fix the family, fix America, and we've been doing it for over a year. We've been doing it longer than over a year, but this show's been on for over a year. This show's a year old now. It's over a year old. That's amazing. Now that I look back and think about it, that's true. Every week for over a year, we've been here talking about facts, and apparently we've had a generational impact already. Right there. I wonder how many of these teens have listened to the show. Apparently a lot. Let me tell you, let me back up 2 seconds and thank listeners like Joe and Miss Brown for doing their homework and telling everyone that they come in contact with, because this show's listenership has grown quadrupled. Every listener ratings this year since the beginning of the year. And it's only February something. I don't even know what the day is. But that's just amazing. And for those new listeners that just now listened to the show for the first time and were given a great treat on your first listen, let me tell you, your first hour of your first show was an incredible call-in by Joe and Miss Brown. But you now have homework, new listeners. You've got to get out there. Every person you come in contact with, that's right, every person you see. If you're driving and you look over in a car and you see a person in that car driving, you got to hit that car, get out of the car and tell them they need to be listening to Fix Family, Fix America. Then you drive on and do about your business. Don't worry about all that insurance stuff. You just go on and keep on talking. But apparently, all of you are doing an incredible job, and I just want to thank you. And again, thanks to Joe and Miss Brown for calling in. Another amazing thing about this, 77% said there's nothing wrong with passionate kissing. A third of them, 34%, believed it was okay to have sex before marriage. So that's the opposite side of the 66%. And then some of them said their belief, they wouldn't answer the question because their belief about virginity or intimacy before marriage was a very private belief. So that's fantastic that they had that thought and they put that in there. And then another corroborating example of this survey, another survey by another group found 82% of teens said they believe God intended marriage to last for a lifetime. But 76% wouldn't count it wrong for a married couple, even with children, to get divorced if they do not love each other anymore. So there's a couple of surveys there showing the value system, the support from the shows like this, families that are getting together, lots of things that are coming together, okay, are beginning to help the youth of today. Understand this, all the surveys that came together in this recent survey, the number one influencer, still above any other, the number one influencer for any adolescent we surveyed, beyond all other influences, was their parents. Parents were the top influencer, not only about sexuality, but about all of life issues. And get this, ever since the teens have been having a somewhat of influence over their thoughts and actions, and 58% affirmed, "I want a marriage like my parents." So parents, when I tell you it's your job, your responsibility to be that influence over the child, listen to Joe and listen to Miss Brown and how they parented. Listen to that. Listen to that wisdom. It has the number one influence over your child, you. Well, if you suck, your influence is going to suck. But if you're good and you have that balance of fear and adulation, not only is your child going to be fantastic, but it's going to help become Fix America. And that, I just wanted to make sure everyone understood that it's not all bad. Yes, there are some things that are bad, but it's not all bad. As to these two new surveys, the teens, the kids may be all right in the old song. The kids may be all right. And that's important. Now, wow, I have so many things to talk about and not a lot of time. And I'm not complaining. Trust me, those again, Joe and Miss Brown, incredible. Incredible. So happy that they called. And let's look at a lot of people are getting sick right now. Real quick, I just want to go into this. I want to grab this topic. Be right back. Keep it listening. Okay, now, a lot of people have written in asking things to stop the common cold. I'm sorry, but there's a million common colds, and the only way to stop it is to get it, because your body will no longer get that exact strain of cold. A lot of you have heard commercials for Zicam or any other zinc lozenge that can make your cold and the duration of the cold less, makes it less long and less bad. But now they're attacking that. That's right, the metal. They're attacking it by saying zinc is 100% works. That's right. In analysts and trials conducted since 1984, ladies and gentlemen, zinc reduced the average duration of cold symptoms by nearly a day when taken within 24 hours of a symptom onset, and also eased symptom severity. Okay? Trial, study after study after study after study since 1984, zinc will shorten your cold by a day and make your symptoms not as bad. Okay? Proof. Done. Conversation. So why attack the zinc now? Let's go into this. just for a minute. I don't have a lot of time to do this, but I want to make sure you understand when you hear this news, and it will be out there. Trust me, you will hear this on the regular media, those regular people. We're the crazy people here, right?
Right.
All right, so what's zinc? Zinc reduced the incidence of a common cold, school absences, and antibiotic use, okay? Since 1984. But guess what? Here's the problem. Adverse events were more frequent in the zinc groups than in the placebo groups. Let me do this one more time, and I have to do it quickly. They're attacking the zinc, the 100% proven, a day less of cold, symptoms not so bad. They're attacking because adverse events were more frequent in the zinc groups than the placebo groups. The difference driven by significantly higher rates of reports of bad taste in their mouth and some nausea. Now let me show you the difference in this adverse events. 56% versus 48%. Okay, so on the topic, and I know this listening audience, you guys are too smart to take that one statement that I just said, which will be the news statement. Okay? This is the news. This is exactly how the news are going to go. Zinc, long known to possibly hold back your cold for over a day, now shown to have more adverse events, specifically bad taste and nausea. That's going to be the news thing. Done. Okay? And everyone's going to go, oh, wow, I don't want a bad taste and nausea. Your cold will be a day less, and your symptoms will be less. But let's, real quick, here's the depth of this. Any drug, any commercial you've ever heard of a drug, starts listing their adverse events at the end of the commercial, do they not? Right? Please don't take this drug. Please don't take Swoopty's drug if you'd like to have nausea. Bad taste may cause bleeding from your eyes. Your ears may ring. Your teeth may start to fall out. I mean, you hear the legalese at the end of the drug commercials, ladies and gentlemen. And in every single one of drug tests, the adverse events are more frequent in the drug side than the placebo side. Every single one. You know why? Because there's a drug involved. Do you know why zinc is going to have more adverse events than not zinc? Because nothing's happening. It's something happened versus nothing happening. Now, let's get to the part of what this doctor has said. William Schaffner, chair of the Department of Preventive Medicine at Vanderbilt University, all right, says the good news is that zinc has some benefits. If taken very promptly, zinc seems to reduce the duration. I don't even know if he talks like this. Reduce the duration of the cold somewhat. Also, zinc, the preventive measurement also seems to work somewhat, and neither effect is large. Here's what he says. The bad news is there are side effects to zinc. You're a doctor. You prescribe drugs on probably a daily or hourly basis. And you're going to sit there and say there are side effects to zinc? But you're not going to sit there and say there are side effects to drug Q? Z? What? I talk about the side effects of drugs on the show every week. Statins killing more people than actually living. Cancer drugs that are shown to kill you faster. Talk about that. We talk about heart medication drugs that will kill you with a stroke. There are side effects to zinc, and the two worst ones were bad taste and nausea. It's another attack on your freedom to choose a non-drug or non-medical way to make yourself healthier. And I understand it's just zinc and it's just a cold. But just like those two teenagers that Joe and Miss Brown and I spoke about cutting in line, it's just cutting in line, right? No. It goes back to the values. And then it goes back to your choices. It's amazing. I'm able to the conversations in the first hour were so intelligent. I can tie into anything that we're talking about because that's how incredible those two people were. They talk about the value system of the children had to be in place. And we need to keep the freedom for you and I and anyone else that wants to learn that zinc may make their cold less, that doctors are out there attacking going, there's serious side effects. Yes, very serious. Well, pooty, 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 pooty. Sorry. Oh, that's so funny. That is funny. Look.
Yay!
Okay. Kids always love pooty pooty poot trucks. Now, get this, ladies and gentlemen. Here's another nanny issue. Since we're talking about take away your freedom of choice off of the things that might make your cold better. Texting while stopped at a traffic light can soon be illegal in Maryland. Yes. That's right. Maryland has a law in place that says texting while driving is illegal. On the surface, beautiful thing, right? Yes. Well, now, they sat around. They didn't have enough to do. They said, well, texting while driving is bad because we see people doing this traffic light. So now we got to stop that, too. In fact, they're saying, regardless of whether the vehicle is in motion, if you're on a main roadway, you cannot be texting. It will require you to pull over to the shoulder. Y'all remember when cell phones were saying pull over? How many people do you see pulled over? Talking on the phone? I submit to you, not a lot. But do we have to continue? Did they just feel better? They made one law, but it wasn't good enough. We need to say it's all roadways. If you step foot in the car, the key's in the ignition, and you're breathing car air, you cannot be texting. Is that how far we got to go? You cannot legislate morality. Who thinks that they are invincible and text driving, it doesn't matter what you make. And wow, back to the intelligence of the first hour, that goes back to values. Just like Joe said, you cannot communicate with a narcissistic person. Their selfishness overrides anything that you're saying, and you sound like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. So now the Maryland legislators, they got a law in the books that bans texting while driving, and they're going to make it even worse. If you're on a main roadway and you're breathing car air and your right foot's moving and your left foot's doing nothing and your hand's near a steering wheel, doesn't even have to be on it, la, la, la. You hear how that bill just continues to go into Charlie Brown world? Wah, 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 wah. If a parent tells a child that texting while driving is bad, and that child has the fear and adulation, guess what happens? Look at that. They don't do it. And it doesn't take a Maryland government law official to make that true. Yes, Maryland listeners, I'm sorry. I apologize right now for even having to bring that up. Heck, remember last week I had to bring up the leave child in toilet here for South Carolinians. Another study about bad parenting. Oh, wait, not bad parenting. I mean children. Another study. University of Miami School of Medicine said energy drinks could pose a risk for serious adverse health effects in some children. That's right. Did you know that? Energy drinks pose a risk to kids in some kids. What? Wouldn't energy drinks pose a risk to some everybody? Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Guess what? Milk poses a serious adverse health effect in some people. Do you know what else? Bread poses a serious adverse health effect in some people. Do you know that? Did you know this? But yet, I'm sure you did not know that energy drinks could pose a serious adverse health effect in some children. I'm certain you didn't know that. That's why we had to pay a lot of money for this school to look it up and study it. Guess what else? They even put a little caveat on the some children, especially those with diabetes, seizures, cardiac abnormalities, or mood and behavior disorders. I think those people are going to have their own issues there all the time. They probably, those people with diabetes, seizures, cardiac abnormalities, mood and behavior disorders, are going to be sitting around going, everything I do could affect one of these items. That just made news. Why did that make news on Valentine's Day? Let me tell you why. Because you see, government, all in states and communities across this country, now saying we have to ban the drinks with the high alcohol content and their caffeination. So they're going to ban it that someone makes it convenient that these two items are together. They're going to make you go to the liquor store to get your vodka, the convenience store to get your Red Bull, and then you have to pour them together yourself. I know. Like Miss Brown said, we look for the easy route. That just seems troubling for people that wish to drink vodka with caffeine. There's a popular song right now that says, mixing vodka with caffeine. Wow. This absolute study, I wanted to say another word, this study that serves no purpose simply says, get this now, we searched. Let me tell you how this study was done. Because when you go read the actual study and the news report of the study, two different things. Here's what the Department of Pediatrics, Department of Pediatrics, the Pediatric Integrative Medicine Program at the University of Miami, the Leonard M. Miller School of Medicine in Miami, all got together with their students, all right, and their objective was to review the effects, adverse consequences, and extent of energy drink consumption among children, adolescents, and young adults. Do you know what they did? They searched PubMed and Google using energy drink, sports drink, guarana, caffeine, taurine, ADHD, diabetes, children, adolescents, insulin, eating disorders, and poison control center to identify articles related to energy drinks. That's right, anyone could have went to PubMed and Google, typed those in, picked out the articles we wish to read, write this nice long paper on it, and guess what the news picks up? Here's the headline. UM study says energy drinks pose serious risk to kids. That's the news headline. That's what you're hearing. Energy drinks. Doesn't matter that these people Googled articles from news media that's been saying energy drinks are bad for the last 8 months, 10 months, years. Isn't it weird that they come up with drinks are bad? South Park, drugs are bad. Energy drinks are bad. Everything's bad. Everything's bad. Okay, so according to self-report surveys, energy drinks are consumed by 30 to 50% of adolescents and young adults. Did they add coffee into that? Did they add cola? Or one of the fluorescent sodas? No, it's just energy drinks. And frequently containing high and unregulated amounts of caffeine, these drinks have been reported in association with serious adverse effects in children, adolescents, and young adults with seizures, diabetes, cardiac abnormalities, mood and behavior programs. So, again, they did the search for exactly what I told you. They came up with that report, and here's their conclusion. This is their conclusion. Out of everything they read on Google, their conclusion is this summary. Energy drinks have no therapeutic benefit, and many ingredients are understudied and not regulated. Wait a minute. Can't we say that about a lot of things? Yes. Concern for potentially serious adverse effects in association with energy drink use. In the short term, pediatricians need to be responsible for energy drinks, vulnerable populations, and screen for consumption to educate families. That's right, families. You are too stupid, and we need more money, so we're going to put out this, again, I almost said another descriptive word, we're going to put out this Google search study to get money from the government, because right now they're really on top of this energy drink issue, and you families are too stupid to tell your children that's not going to work. I don't make this up. This comes from real life, really happening around you. And I realize it's real simple, like those two girls in the grocery line today, to ignore everything around you. I'm amazed at how easy it is with those two girls. But, wow. Wow. And so, a Google search from a school suddenly gets news that it is, UM study says energy drinks pose serious risk to kids. It doesn't say kids with seizures. No, it just says all kids. Crazy. It's crazy. Wow. Just so you know, we have a chat room live for this show as well as calling in ability. Love to hear from everyone. Heard from Joe, Miss Brown from the first hour. Again, want to thank both of them. I know we're going to have Miss Brown on for an interview session. That was a very impromptu interview. We're going to have her on for an interview session because of what she does with authors and people that are really, really working on getting a book or their story inside them published. So we're going to ask her about that and how she goes about helping people do that in a future Fix the Family, Fix America, because everyone has a story inside them that may help someone else get through it. And if you can get it on paper, it's going to be really, really good. Going to be really, really good. Now on a sad note, ladies and gentlemen, again, we're going to get Miss Brown. As soon as we can. We'll announce it, Facebook it. You've got to go become my friend on Twitter and Facebook. Every one of you. Again, quadruple listenership. Growth. since the beginning of the year. Amazing. Do your homework again for me, ladies and gentlemen. Keep doing it because it is helping get this show to, like I said, we have the new opener. Wasn't that opener awesome? That is our new announcer, Bill. Mr. Bill, he is fantastic. He is going to be doing a lot of stuff for us. So we are growing leaps and bounds. And if you do your homework like every other listenership has done their homework, then I have no doubt that this will soon be the largest. Now, it is now the fastest growing family talk show in all of the universe. And again, we'll have to lose the fastest growing to be the largest. So that's fine. I'll accept that. We will only lose the fastest growing moniker when we are the largest family talk show in all of the universe. And that is, we are steadily on the way for that. And I cannot thank each and every one of you enough. Heroes, ladies and gentlemen, fathers and mothers looked up adulation. We talked about adulation of your mom and dad. So many people look up at their dad as a hero. Look up at their mom as a hero. All right? Miss Brown, I'm sure her children look to her and go, "You were mom and dad. How much of a hero are you to them?" That's amazing. Right? Then there's single dads out there where their children are looking at them. "You're mom and dad." It's amazing. And then, of course, you have regular parents, mom and dad, and they look at dad and go, "He's amazing. He's just like this superhero. And mom, she's amazing. She's like this superhero." And then, back in the 30s, ladies and gentlemen, the first real superhero hit the world. His name was Superman. Jerry Siegel created Superman in the Depression era. Okay? And he met his lovely bride in Depression era Cleveland. I'm sorry that they had to do that about Cleveland, but I love the fact that they met. Jerry met Laura Siegel. Well, she wasn't Laurel Siegel. Excuse me, Joel, that's a daughter. I'm so sorry. Jerry met Joanne, who became Joanne Siegel, the wife of Superman creator. All right? In the 1930s. And guess what? She was the model for Lois Lane. The bad news of everything I'm saying is she passed away. Lois Lane died Monday at the age of 93. Heroes. Simpler time when Superman could do no wrong. And fathers and sons and mothers and daughters would all sit around and radio and listen to Superman stories or grab a comic book and read Superman stories right before bed. I still do that. Do y'all know I pull out my old comics and show my daughter now? And she just revels. Her favorite character is Batman. We just watched Superman and Shazam have to defeat the Black Adam, which was a brother of another mentor of Shazam the Wizard. He was just the bad brother. Incredible stuff. Heroes. Adulation. But I had to bring that up. The inspiration for Lois Lane passed away on Monday. Wow. And in fact, if I'm going to try to get this picture of an early drawing of Lois Lane by the artist Joe Shuster, who used his wife as a model. Not Joe. Jerry. I'm going to try to get that picture onto Facebook and let all of you see it, because it's fantastic. The early drawing is just, she's gorgeous. Oh, it's very nice. and very sad. Superman's creator died in 1996, by the way. Ladies and gentlemen, now the model for Lois Lane passed away on Monday. So I had to bring that up, and I'm very sorry. And again, if you want to see this picture, make sure you get on Facebook /TheJackHatfield, then go to Twitter /JackHatfield, and see the picture, and then you get my tweets all week, including the one from this morning. A bald eagle, the American symbol of freedom, swooped down right in front of my car, stopped in the middle of the highway. I'm not kidding. Swooped down and grabbed a carcass off the road. It was amazing. And then he had to pump his massive wings just incredibly to make it up fast enough before, because there's trees on the side of the road. I mean, you can't just come down and grab this carcass and then go straight. He had to pump to go straight back up. And he's just sitting there right, seemed like forever, but I'm sure it was 5-6 seconds, just right over the car, going straight up. So I was looking at in such great detail of a bald eagle, the white head, amazingly awesome white head, and the dark body and wings. The contrast was amazing as he pulled the carcass from the road and then had to just thrust to get up over the trees and then go away. And that was amazing to watch this morning. I stopped, like I said, and cars were behind me going, "Oh, what's this idiot doing?" And I just was amazed at that, and I had to tweet that, did I just watch a metaphor? Because you see all the stuff happening around in the world. And it a lot of the stories coming from some of the stuff happening is that people are wanting some freedom. And we have been the bastion of freedom for so long. And when I say for so long, that means not that much. We're not that old, a little over 200 years old. We've done more for freedom and for the psyche of the human element than any country before us. That's why we fix the family, we fix America, and America then continues to be the beacon on the hill. Can do it. And from what I witnessed and what that eagle did, it was no easy matter. He was not going to give up that. This carcass was tremendously large. I don't know what it was. A puma? Could have been a puma. Could have been a lion. I don't know. It was something large. It was tremendous. Elephant, small elephant, not a large elephant, of course, but it was massive. But he grabbed it. I'm not making. I'm serious. The eagle was incredible. But no matter what it took, that eagle made it out of. Of elephant or puma. Well, let's go real quick to moms and dads of the week. Normally, moms and dads of the week are very bad people, but now I'm going to talk about some heroes because I was inspired by Lois Lane and Superman and watching Superman and Shazam movie just last week. Father of three. Okay, in Australia, was swimming with his daughters, okay, in a creek, and a crocodile pulled him under and was coming to kill him and his daughters. All right? It latched on his left hand and started, he thought to himself, I was thinking all I thought about was the safety of my daughters. And if you go back and if you just now tuning in, which I know you're not because every one of my listeners listened to every single 120 minutes of the show, you remember we were talking about the mother-daughter connection, and then, of course, Joe and I have to talk about the father, not daughter, mother-child connection, and then, of course, there's a father-child connection. This is why we couldn't believe that moms could leave children, and then we discussed how the disconnect occurred. You remember it. But this would be the only thought in my mind. This father says, it is surprising what you can do when all you can think about is the safety of your children. Crocodile coming to eat him and his children. He goes underwater, and all he can remember is telling them to get away, and then going under and grabbing it, shaking the crocodile, punching it, gouging its eyeballs out. Okay? They've been in this water hole for about 3 hours. Jennifer, one of his daughters, recalled feeling something big brush past her. Now, can you imagine what would have happened if one of the daughters went down? I can't even think about it. The other daughter, Monica, said she felt the beast's tail swipe across her back as it went after the father. Right? The crocodile, again, thinking, get the biggest one down and the rest of them will come easy. And he wanted to, it came like a puff out of the water, and he wanted to protect his girls. And he went under there, gouged the crocodile, and this guy's alive. He has scars on his left hand, big old conch out of his back. But he saved his three children. And that's just amazing. That's wonderful dad to me. That's a hero dad. And just to be a hero dad doesn't mean you have to save your children from a crocodile every week. Okay? Now, another thing about family that we spoke about is how that we've also talked about in the teenagers say, I want a marriage like my parents. Well, here's a great marriage. The wife saved the husband, okay, who was out squirrel hunting. Wife saved her husband from being eaten by a tiger with a soup ladle. The 55-year-old wife heard screams of her husband, okay, getting eaten by a tiger. She rushes out. Obviously, he didn't go far to go squirrel hunting. She rushes through the woods with her soup ladle, starts beating the daylights out of a tiger, and the tiger was off going, "You crazy woman." I don't know if the tiger actually said that while it was running off, but I think that's what it was thinking. Can you believe this? The husband, squirrel hunting, tried to climb a tree to get away from the tiger. The tiger dragged him back down. As he's screaming, wife hears it. I'm sure wife immediately said, "Oh, he's so close. Squirrel hunting, what's he doing? He's not doing anything." She looks out, she's a tiger attacking the husband, runs out with whatever was in her hand. Apparently she was making soup. Runs out with the ladle, starts beating the tiger, soup ladle, saves the husband. Can you believe that? That's fantastic. That was on Valentine's Day. See there? One of the comments, this is funny, I got to say this. Lucky man to have such a wife. Mine would have used the ladle to pour more sauce over me to make me more appetizing to the tiger. That's a different kind of... Oh, you people are fantastic. Again, we will have Miss Brown on to do an interview about what she does with authors in an upcoming future episode of Fix the Family, Fix America. I want to thank Joe for calling in, Miss Brown for calling in. The intelligence of those two were fantastic. I can't thank you both enough from the bottom of my heart. God bless Lois Lane and Superman's creator, May she rest in peace. And thank you so much for listening. Please do your homework. Do all your work. Then go home. Spend quality time with your children. Kiss your significant other. And then have a great libation on me. And have a great night's sleep, ladies and gentlemen. Look for you next week. And get me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks a lot. Have a great day.